Welcome back to the Paul to Timothy Institute podcast. I'm Dr. Mike Oney. Today, we're starting a new series, and it is simply titled Time. And specifically, this particular podcast is emphasizing time and fruitfulness in ministry. It was James Dobson, a huge impactor in my life, especially in my formative years of leadership and family life, married life. Dr. James Dobson, in his book titled Turning Hearts Toward Home, said this, and he emphasized this quality of time and how essential it is that we get it right. He said, I remember saying in my second film series, Turn Your Heart Toward Home, that the day was coming soon when the bicycle tires would be flat, the skateboard would be warped, and standing in the garage, the swing set would be still, and the beds would not be slept in. We will go through Christmas with no stockings hanging by the fireplace, and the halls will be very quiet. I know those times will soon be here, and I realize it has to be so. I accept it. I wouldn't for anything try to hold back our son or daughter when it comes time to go. But that will also be a very sad day because the precious experience of parenting will have ended for me. Alas, the day that I anticipated has just arrived. We are just passing through. As the gospel songwriters used to say, all of life boils down to a series of happy hellos and sad goodbyes. Nothing is really permanent, not even the relationships that blossom in a healthy home. In time, we must release our grip on everything we hold. King David said it best, as for man, his days are like grass. As a flower on the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. And this next section in his beginning part of that book really impacted me. Dr. Dobson said, if we really grasped the numbering of our days, we would surely be motivated to invest ourselves in eternal values. It is the illusion of permanence, you see, that distorts our perception and shapes our selfish behavior. When eternal values come in view, our greatest desire is to please the Lord and influence as many of our loved ones for Him as possible. This series is about time. More specifically, how do we handle time when eternity comes into view? In Matthew 25, Jesus illustrates the value of time by using a metaphor of money and investments. We know it as the parable of the talents. There are three parables actually in Matthew 25 that emphasize time and our investments in our lives. It's helpful to know when you go through the parable of the talents that one talent was worth $600,000 in today's U.S. economy. So one talent, $600,000. Two talents, $1.2 million. Five talents, $3 million. With that in mind, keep in focus as we read it that Jesus is sharing this parable just within a few months of going to the cross. In other words, he is talking about things that really critically matter a whole lot. Also keep in mind that this is a teaching that Jesus gave to his select future leaders. So we as ministry leaders, this is extremely relevant. Listen to the parable, Matthew 25, 14 through 30. For it is just like a man about to go on a journey who called his own slaves and entrusted his possessions to them. To one he gave five talents, to another two, and to another one, each according to his own ability, and he went on his journey. The one who had received the five talents, keep in mind that's $3 million in today's economy, immediately went and did business with them and earned five more talents. In the same way, the one who had received two talents, 1.2 million in today's economy, earned two more. But he who received the one talent, $600,000, went away and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. Now, after a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. The one who had received the five talents came up and brought five more talents, saying, "Master, you entrusted five talents to me. See, I have earned five more talents." His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." Also, the one who had received two talents came up and said, "Master, you entrusted two talents to me. See, I have earned two more talents." His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter the joy of your master." Now the one who had received one talent also came up and said, "Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter seed. And I was afraid. So I went away and hid your talent in the ground. See, you still have what is yours." But his master answered and said to him, "You worthless, lazy slave. Did you know that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I did not scatter seed? Then you ought to have put my money in the bank, and on my arrival I would have received my money back with interest. Therefore, take the talent away from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For everyone who has, more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who does not have, even what he does have shall be taken away. And throw the worthless slave into outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Let's talk about two things related to time, two foundational truths. First one is this: how I will be judged in eternity is directly related to how I spend time. In the parable of the talents, the motivational driver of the man who failed to invest his life into what matters most and was judged severely, the core motivational driver of his life, it was fear. Matthew 25, verse 25, first part of the verse says this: "And I was afraid, so I went away and hid your talent in the ground." Let me talk to us as ministry leaders. Let me give you a few specifics related to fear in our lives as ministry leaders, a fear that can so easily creep in. I guess to be very transparent with you, let me talk to you about four fear lessons that I've had to learn over and over again and still have to relearn sometimes today. Four things that kind of indicate that fear is causing me to avoid doing what I ought to be doing. Number one, using busyness as a badge of honor. That's a real sign of immaturity, isn't it? Secondly, needing the approval of others to keep me going. Thirdly, allowing spiritual service for others to replace my spiritual relationship with the Lord. Fourthly, accepting responsibility for what the Lord has not made me responsible for. I'm just telling you, in my life, those are four hard lessons that I do my best to not forget. David Roper, in his book, A Burden Shared, speaking dominantly to small church pastors, said this: "As I watch my friends in ministry, I noticed an odd inconsistency. Most of them ardently believe in what they're doing, yet many are utterly discouraged. They find themselves much too busy, and what may be worse, their busyness seems barren." Boy, it's true, isn't it? That in ministry, we can find ourselves being very busy but barren. How I will be judged in eternity is directly related to how I spend time. So let me give you a leadership maxim related to this point for you and I, for those of us that are serving as ministry leaders. Misspending time is one of the most dangerous issues we face as ministry leaders. And misspending of time is often generated by fear. Boy, I tell you, I know it to be true. Secondarily, how fruitful I become is directly related to how I spend time. In the parable of the talents again, the two servants that spent their time by investing into what had been given to them were rewarded with the words from the master, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I was so impressed with Kevin Cruz's book titled 15 Secrets Successful People Know About Time Management. It's an interesting book. It was published in 2015. Interesting because he based his book on his findings of his study of ultra productive people. So he did survey research and interviews with billionaires, Olympic athletes, straight A students, and over 200 entrepreneurs. Here's a list of his, out of his 15, the things that deeply impacted me. I've rephrased a little bit related to some of them, but I'm telling you, this is the theme as you listen to it that comes across to me. Keep in mind this particular point, how fruitful I become is directly related to how I spend time. And in his survey, he found that these folks were extremely, extremely intentional about how they spent time. Let me give you a list of 11 out of his 15 that have really been true of me and impact me significantly to this day. Number one is they set priorities and work on those priorities 2 hours first thing in the morning. For me personally, that is my personal relationship with the Lord. I have to spend a strong block of time, 2 to 4 hours, is my personal discipline. Secondarily, they don't trick themselves by telling themselves that they'll get to the important stuff later. They don't think like that. Thirdly, they make it home for dinner. I found that one to be interesting in his survey. They knew that there's always more to do, and they cannot disconnect with the people around them that should matter the most. Fourthly, they check email only 3 times a day. In other words, they stay in control of email and social media. Fifth, they make sure that meetings get the right things done. Matter of fact, they turn down a slew of meetings and make the ones that they're in shorter. Six, they stay in charge of their commitments to the best of their ability. In other words, they say no to a lot of things. Seven, they follow the 80-20 rule that says 80% of outcomes come from only 20% of activities. It's true, isn't it? Eight, they delegate and outsource almost everything. In my opinion, delegate and outsource everything that you possibly can and stay in your lane. Nine, they have work themes for each day, and within those themes, they use time blocking. Number 10, they touch things only once. They have a rule that if I can do this in 10 minutes or less, I'll do it now. Throw that ball out of your court if it's going to be simple and fast. Don't delay. 11, they have a consistent morning ritual. In other words, they know what to focus on as soon as they get out of bed. All in all, when you look at their list, they are extremely intentional. So here's the point. A life of fruitfulness is lived by knowing how to wisely be intentional with what matters most. In the parable of the talents and in multiple other places, Jesus emphasized how we spend time. Specifically in the parable of the talents that we read, there are two overwhelming foundational truths. One, a perspective of the future. We will each be judged by how we spend our time. Secondarily, there is a perspective of the present. Our individual fruitfulness is determined by how we spend time now. Let me say this, Anoma audience. Most of you are ministry leaders who, along with me, already buy into the concept that how we spend time really matters. We agree with Dr. James Dobson when he said, "It is the illusion of permanence, you see, that distorts our perception and shapes our selfish behavior when eternal values come in view. Our greatest desire is to please the Lord and influence as many of our loved ones for Him as possible. The real issue for us as ministry leaders is really not about willingness. I understand that. You are willing. I am willing. It's not a matter of willingness. It is a matter of wisdom. Specifically, wisdom to know how to determine what is important in the moment. Now, let me share with you an absolute conviction out of my life and many, many of my friends. As ministry leaders, we must set aside significant amounts of time with the Lord, both pursuing Him and listening to Him, in order to find the wisdom to know how to live the moments of our lives. Our reverence for the Lord must be central to everything that we do. The phrase in the Mary and Martha story that grips me is when Jesus told Martha, who is consumed about the expedient, but not the significant. Jesus said, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Mary has chosen shows the intentionality behind her. To me, that is the answer. Intentionality combined with good wisdom on how we spend time, oh, that is essential. Two things here as we close out. I'm the only one who can determine what matters most. And secondarily, when I make decisions, it will help me if I consider the future when making that decision. Let me give you an example. How will I feel about a specific decision in 5 hours from it? How about 5 days from it? How about 5 weeks from it? How about 5 years from it? How about 50 years later, if I'm living, from this decision? That concept helped me in a major time of failure in my life. My wife and I had planted a church, and it wasn't doing well, and I became aware that the church was doing some good things, but it diverted me away from the calling. I have spent 24 years of my life as a senior pastor. One of those years was with a failing church plant that I knew that I needed to release because I started it out of the wrong passions. It was a passion of what I wanted to do, but not a passion birthed by the Spirit. My wife and I thought about how are we going to feel about this if we close this church 5 hours from now, 5 days from now, 5 weeks from now? How about 5 years from now? How about a lifetime from now? And we realized when we looked back from years later that we would not regret that decision, that we knew that how we were spending our time was diverting us away from what is significantly focused on by the Lord for us to do in ministry. In other words, we were being diverted away because we were so ashamed and we didn't want to disappoint anybody in making that hard decision. Proverbs 1:7 is what I want to leave us with. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. You know, you and I can never spend our time on the right things if we are unwilling to give up other things. That is what helped my wife and I make a very tough decision to disappoint a number of people, accept the embarrassment of the moment, and move on into what God wanted us to be and to do. This is Mike Oney, president of Paul to Timothy Institute, encouraging you to head over to paultotimothy.com. Take a look at resources that we have there. And we have specific resources for you mentoring your ministry leaders, and specifically, if you are interested, in starting a church-based training center. We can partner with you in 9 courses of material that you can deliver. We're even backed by a major seminary who will give you credit just for utilizing those materials. We can partner with you as a ministry leader to get that training center started. Head over to paultotimothy.com and take a look at those resources. Looking forward to our next time together as we talk about time.